As we just had this chus tirasim, so I want to dedicate the shir tonight. Lilo nishmas Rafael Gedalia Zev ben Rabbi Yaakov Tovia, just to see him in his honor. And I certainly wasn't going to make a machlokas tonight, since tonight's topic is machlokas. So I wasn't going to chase anyone out in the middle of making a siyum. Lilo nishmas a relative. Okay, tonight is the last of our mini series on Bein Adam L'Chavero, and I want to start with a vart from the Chafetz Chaim that appears in the Sefer V'shalo Lo Yachzar in this week's parsha. An amazing, amazing insight from the Chafetz Chaim, which I think really, just to put almost like a recap of everything that we've learned, and there was a lot of details along the way, we probably don't remember everything, I certainly don't, but I think this Vart will capture sort of the reason why we chose to learn this topic. Our Parsha is filled, what better week to end a series on Bein Adam L'Chavero than Parsha's Mishpatim. Parsha's Mishpatim is all Bein Adam L'Chavero, Kim'at, all Bein Adam L'Chavero, with a little Kabbalah Sator at the end. But along the way, it's Mamish, all Bein Adam L'Chavero. And the Parsha begins, interestingly enough, with the Eved Ivri. And everyone's trying to figure out why the Eved Ivri? Why start with the Eved Ivri? Of all the things in the Parsha, the Rishonim are very busy, Chazal are very busy, understanding the Smichas HaParshios, the Smichas HaPsukim. The beginning of a Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk sometimes seem to be worlds apart. The Chafetz Chaim and so many others ask, why does the Parsha start with the Eved Ivri? And the Chafetz Chaim, in a very autobiographical comment, the Chafetz Chaim says, what happens to this Eved Ivri? There's a very unusual and unique halach about an Eved Ivri. That an Eved Ivri is given a Shifcha Knanis. He's able to marry a non-Jewish woman. And what was the crime of this Eved Ivri? How did he end up being sold into slavery? Let's assume theft. Right? Certainly a very likely option for an Eved Ivri. That he stole, he couldn't repay, and he was sold. So here's an individual who committed a petty crime of theft. He wasn't so honest in his business dealings. A little Bein Adam L'Chavero, dishonesty. Thought he could get away with it, the other guy wouldn't know. He wouldn't deliver the product on time, he'd deliver it a little bit off, steal a little bit, he gets caught, he can't pay back. And now he becomes an Eved Ivri. And all of a sudden, the halacha says, you marry him off to a non-Jewish woman. Now says the Chafetz Chaim, if I were to ask you, what is the indicator of a person whose mamish left Yiddishkeit? Intermarriage. The ultimate expression of assimilation is a person who goes off and marries a non-Jewish woman. So we say to this Eved Ivri, we teach him a lesson. The Chafetz Chaim says, you think, it was just a little bit of the L'Chavero. I took a couple bucks from another person. I wasn't honest in my business dealings. I stole a little bit of money. It's not like I went off the derech completely. It's not like I left the faith. We say to the Eved Ivri, Shifcha Knanis. We're going to marry him off to a non-Jewish woman to say to this Eved Ivri, you think it's just a little gazela is not a big deal? A little pagam and being Adam L'Chavero is not a big deal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats it as seriously as a person who marries out of the faith. And again, if there's anything we've learned from this entire series, again, it's the need to appreciate and to recognize that Bein Adam L'Chavero is at least as important, if not more important, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Bein Adam L'Makom. And again, if anything, like I said last week, at least we can start thinking about these topics so we haven't perfected ourselves in them, but at least it's something to think about. Our Parsha, tonight I want to speak about Machlokas and Shalom, and our Parsha has a lot of fighting in it. There's a lot of fighting in the Parsha. So for example, you open up Perach Aleph, Makei Ish V'meis, a man strikes another man and he dies, Mos Humas. Six psukim later, v'chi yirivun anashim, two men are fighting, v'hika ish asre'eyu, be'evin or be'egrof, person hits his friend with a stone or with his fist, and he doesn't die, and he becomes ill, what are the penalties? Again, four psukim later, v'chi natsu anashim, two men are fighting, and they crash into a pregnant woman, and she miscarries, what are the penalties? And again, these are just a few of the examples, again, of disputes, of fighting, of machlokes, that people are mistreating one another. Parshas Mishpatim, the miniature version of Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, it's all in these parshas. It's come out all in these parshas. Judges and disputes and grievances and people complaining to one another and fighting with one another. We're not going to focus so much on the physical fighting tonight. We're going to focus more on the emotional fighting, the machlokas that takes place sometimes between Jews. But this is the parsha to talk about. It's a parsha of strife, of Jews who are trying to settle the score with one another. There's a very scary vart that I want to share, a powerful vart, that's why I'm going to share it, from Rav Shmelke of Nicholsburg. The Rebbe of Shmelke of Nicholsburg, the brother of Rav Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, his name was also Horowitz, Rav Shmuel Horowitz, Shmuel Shmelke Horowitz, the Rebbe of Nicholsburg, he was one of the early tzaddikim of Hasidus, passed away in the late 1700s, 1778. His brother, again, like I said, Rav Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, was known for his writings on Shas, the Hafla, on Meseches Ksubes, Hamakna, Meseches Kedushin, wrote a Sefer on Chumash called Panim Yafos. And the two of them were Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich. So we're talking about pretty early in the lineage of Hasidus, the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, and these were Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich. The Rebbe of Shmelka said a pshat that I saw in the writings of the Biala Rebbe, one of the Biala Rebbe's, a pshat in a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. The pasuk says also on the topic of judges, ki yipale mimcha davar lemishpat. When there's a matter of mishpat, that's yipale mimcha. It's beyond you. You don't understand what to do. What should I do in this case? Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei rivos bisharecha. Whether it's a matter of dam, or a matter of din, or a matter of negaim, or it's a matter of dispute in your gates, what should you do? You don't know what to do. The local court doesn't feel that it has the authority to rule in this case, doesn't have the knowledge to rule in this case. So go to the Supreme Court. Go to the Supreme Court, go to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen, go to the Sanhedrin. That's Pasha Pasha. The Rebbe of Shmelka says something that's so sad for Klal Yisrael. It's a sad var, but it's supposed to motivate us. If you want, if you're confused, why is Hashem so tough on Klal Yisrael? Why do Jews suffer so much? And you're trying to figure it out. Bein dam ledam. Why is Jewish blood spilled so carefree? There are so many people throughout history took advantage of the Jewish people. Why didn't Hashem come to our rescue? Bein din ledin. If midas hadin is being sholeit on Klal Yisrael, why Hashem? What do you have against us? Why are you angry at us? Bein nega lenega. You meet a person who's suffering some type of affliction, and you want to know why all of this is happening. Hashem, we're your chosen people. What do you have against us? Why are you so tough on us? Why are Jews suffering? Why are people sick? And why do people die? And why are people going through all sorts of financial struggles? I thought you love us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what the answer is? If you don't know, the answer is divrei rivos bisharecha. It's the fighting that takes place in your gates, in your communities. It's the machlokas that causes people to die. And it causes people to get sick. And it causes people to suffer. Right? Says the Rebbe of Shmelki, you want to know what the answer to all of the problems of the Jewish people is? It's machlokas. It's the same sin as chinam. It's the same lack of shalom that brought the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. As Jews, and it's a good thing, I remember Dafka Ashir that Rav Shechter gave in this shul many years ago. And I remember Rav Shechter quoted the Maharal as saying the reason that the Jewish people, one of the indicators that we must have the true faith, the true religion, is the fact that we're so passionate about what we believe. When we get into a machlokas, let's just talk in halacha, right? I have my opinion, you have your opinion, and it's fierce. It's mamish fierce. Again, the Gemara says that's a holy thing. Two people sit down to learn. They look like they're ready to kill each other. To an outsider, it looks like someone should call the cops. These people are about to murder each other. And by the end, they give each other a big hug and say, Shkoyach, I'll meet you here again tomorrow. You know, to learn together, back to Seder tomorrow. It's a hard thing to understand. Right? But there's a holiness, the Maharal says, to being strongly opinionated. That's an indication that our halacha is real. It's Torah Misinai. So we fight for it. It's not a religion that we made up ourselves so we can negotiate every couple of years. It's something that we fight for, that we believe in deeply. And therefore, machlokas can have a holy place. Machlokas l'shem shemayim, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. There is a concept of machlokas l'shem shemayim. Hillel and Shammai. The way that Hillel respected the opinion of Shammai, that they married into each other's families, even though, again, they had fierce opposition. Right? Two Jews, three opinions. We're an opinionated people. Someone once told me, Lubavitcher Rebbe once quipped. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, two Jews, when they get together, even before they start to talk, they get into a fight. I say to you, Shalom Aleichem. You say it back to me. I disagree. Aleichem Shalom. Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. Already a machlokas. I say Shalom Aleichem. You say Aleichem Shalom. Already fighting. Already a machlokas. Before they said anything. Right? But that's who we are. We're opinionated people. That's a good thing. But God forbid it could also become a very destructive thing. And that's what the Rebbe of Shmelka is saying. Kipali Mimcha Davar. You're trying to figure out what's with all the suffering in Jewish history. The answer is Divrei Rivos Bisharecha. Because you haven't spoken to your brother or your cousin or your neighbor in 6 months or 6 years or 60 years. And it's a terrible thing for Klal Yisrael. Let's start with the basics in halacha. There's an Isser D'Oraisa. I'm going to speak according to the majority of Rishonim. We'll talk it out. But I think it's safe to say, I'm not preventing the Torah in a perverse way, in a corrupted way, to say that there may be, a very strong maybe, there may be an Isser D'Oraisa to engage in machlokas. Isser d'oraisa to engage in machlokas. Where does the Torah tell us that it's usher to be a person who's involved in machlokas? Where does the Torah tell us that? But Midbar Perek Yud Zayin, after the famous scene, Korach and Aaron and the fire pans, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Elazar, Vayomer, Vedaber Hashem El Moshe Limor, tell Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen to pick up the machtos from amongst the Sreifa, and we're going to use them. What are we going to use them for? Zikaron Livnei Yisrael. But Midbar Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Hey, Zikaron Livnei Yisrael. Save those pants. Why? L'man asher lo yikrav yishzar asher lo mizar Aaron hu la'aktir ketoris lefnei Hashem, to show that Aaron is the true Kohen, and he was given that position by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as this final showdown with the fire pans proved. And then the pasuk says, and Rishonim learn this as a mamish one of the 613, v'lo yihye kekorach v'chadaso kasher dibar Hashem b'yad Moshe. Remember what happened? V'lo yihye lashon tzivoy, lo yihye, don't be kekorach v'chadaso. Don't be a person who makes machlokas. Don't be a person who gets into fights with other people. It's very hard for us. And I say this as a person who learns a lot of chassidus. It's very hard for us, the more we delve into the world of Korach, to talk badly about Korach. We don't really understand what was going on with Korach and Moshe. Korach was a zakin b'Yisrael. Korach was a big talmud chacham. In Pnimius, we have no understanding. But there are chapshat, there's a pshat. Korach was a bad guy. He got into trouble. He complained. He was envious. He was gaivadik. But the tzaddikim say, you can't talk like that about Korach. Korach was ahead of his time. The Arizal says, Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, the last letter is spelled Korach. Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, Sofei Tevos Korach. He's a tzaddik, and he's going to flourish, but he was ahead of his time. It was a corrupted way of trying to take that power. Rishmelka, Rabbi Rishmelka of Nicholsburg, who I mentioned a moment ago, and his brother of Pinchas Alevi Horowitz, when they would talk about Korach, they would call him the Heilig Zayde Korach. The Holy Zayde Korach. Because they wanted to remind themselves it's not for small people like ourselves to poke our head in between the machlokas, between Korach and Moshe and Aaron. Just to show you what tzaddikim understood, that we don't even have a clue what they're talking about. I saw in a sefer called Imre Kodesh from Rav Uri of Strelitz, one of the tzaddikim of Chassidus. He says that the machlokas between Korach and Moshe was the same machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Anyone? If you have a pshat, I'd love to hear. The machlokas between Korach and Moshe is the same machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam about the order of the parshas in the tefillin. This is out of our league. But there's a Pashup Shad also. And the Pashup Shad is that the Torah says, V'lo yiyeh kekorach v'chadaso. Don't be a person, even if you're a smart person, even if you have a cheshbon, even if it's l'shem shemayim in your way, when it's not really l'shem shemayim. Right? It's such a delicate thing, machlokas. Lo yiyeh kekorach v'chadaso. Rishonim say that is a Isser da'araisa. Rabbeinu Yonah, Isser da'araisa. Bahag, the Bahalachos Gedolos, Isser da'araisa. The Smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, Isser da'araisa. Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, the smak, Isser Daraisa. Many great Rishonim, where the Monei HaMitzvos count not being like Korach as one of the 613 prohibitions of the Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud, seems to say like that. The Rambam thinks that maybe it's just an asmach de ba'alma, which means it's a rabbinical interpretation of the Pasuk. It's not the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk. The Ramban reads the whole Pasuk and says, well, the Pasuk's really talking about don't start up with kahuna. Right? Laman asher lo yikrav ishzar asher lo mizara aronhu. The Ramban, not in the Ramban and Chumash, at least I didn't see it there, but the Ramban in his comments on the Rambam says that maybe the prohibition is dafka, don't challenge the authority of the Kohanim, the way that Korach challenged the authority of Aaron. But whether you say it's Daraisa, whether you say it's Darabanan, more broad in scope, more limited in scope, the bottom line is, the Torah says don't do it. Daraisa, Darabanan, who are we to get involved? It's not our business, we should stay away from it. Machlokas is bad. Reminds me of a comment I once saw from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Sefer called B'mechitzas Rabbeinu. Hanhagos and different things from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So Rav Yaakov once said, this is a very Rav Yaakov kind of line. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, there's different opinions exactly what Gehenna is. But l'chol ha'deos is bad. Right? Meaning, regardless of which shita, exactly what it is, learn this svarim, learn that svarim. The bottom line is, you don't want to go. Right? Machlokas is the same thing. D'araisa, d'rabanan. L'chol ha'deos is awesome. An individual came once to Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul. And he said, I want your position on this particular matter, because someone said it's mutter, and I know that it's usser, and I want your opinion. And this person was clearly looking to cause a ruckus. You know, he had the posters in his back pocket, he was ready to put them up on the wall in Meir Shah. So he came to Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul to hear his opinion. So he says, listen. He says, Yesh lahakil, yesh lahachmir. There's a valid opinion like this, there's a valid opinion like that, but l'chol ha'deos, what you're trying to do is completely usser. You're trying to make machlokas. You're trying to get people into a fight. You're not here to hear my opinion. And I know this machlokas. Yeshal mi lismuch, yeshal mi lismuch. They both have a legitimate position. Your position is not legitimate. Not according to the Bahag, not according to the Smag, not according to the Smag, not according to Ben Yonah, not according to the Rambam, not according to anyone. Yeah, please.
Not except, but we sort of, he gets a free ride.
Okay. There is such a thing as machlokas l'shem shemayim. Right? So if you're in the camp of Rabbeinu Tam and you want to challenge, you know, Rashi, okay. There is machlokas. The Gemara is filled with machlokas. It's part of who we are, right? But Chazal are picking up, and the Torah is telling us that there's such a danger in machlokas. Even someone who's a big tzaddik like Korach, it's such a delicate thing. And again, we've been wallowing in it for 2,000 years since Churban Bayis Sheni. So we have to try to be metakin. You're right. There is such a thing as a holy machlokas, but there's also such a thing as a machlokas that's worse than avodah zarah. The Shevet Musar says that on the day that the Egel took place, the man fell from Shemayim. You know how we know? Because they fed the man to the Egel. We have Midrashim. That was a terrible offense. They took the man, the heavenly food that rained down from the heaven, they took it and they fed it to the golden calf. But at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't withhold the man when they were doing avodah zarah. The Chazal say that when Korach made his rebellion against Moshe and Aaron, the man didn't fall. So the Shevet Musar says, well, you know what you see from this? You see, the machlokas is worse than avodah zarah. That a machlokas amongst gedolim is worse than a chira egel. No?
Maybe the egel wasn't avodah zarah.
Okay, you'll give a shir on that. You have given a shir on that. Have you given a shir on that?
Yeah.
Hey, see? That's your type of shir. Okay, but it's serious stuff. Yeah, please.
Right. The Gaonim, some were Rabbeinu Tam, some were Rashi.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that's the shita that they're just carrying forward. It wasn't like, hey, they come up with a new shita and I think you're wrong.
Right.
As opposed to Korach comes in and starts challenging.
Right, a totally new derech. Right.
Right. So maybe that's a difference.
True. It's an important point. Right. Also, machlokas, the fact that there are different opinions in halacha is very b'di'evit, at least according to the Rambam. Right. The Rambam in the Hakdama says, in Hakdama to Torah Shavu'ot Peh, the Rambam says that part of the reason that we have different opinions is because we weren't properly keeping the Mesorah. Right. So, again, there's a bracha that emerges from that, the fact that there's a ribuy of opinions, some beautiful essays written about that. Rav Huttner has a beautiful essay, and the Tolna Rebbe has a beautiful essay about that. That machlokets leads to more opinions, which means leads to more chiddush in Torah, and the fighting sometimes enhances the precision in our learning, right? But there's something very b'di'evit about the fact that there's even more than one opinion about how to do anything. There's something very, very b'di'evit about that. In halacha, we find an unbelievable emphasis on shalom. To such an unbelievable degree, Chazal emphasized the power of peace, the very opposite, ma'amish, the opposite of machlokas. I want to learn a famous Rambam together, okay? Which Rambam? Who knows which Rambam? I'm going to quote the last Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. It's an amazing Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Chanukah. It's Megillah and Chanukah together. I never understood why the Rambam calls it Megillah and Chanukah as opposed to Purim and Chanukah. I don't know. There must be a simple pshat to that. But in Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah, the Rambam writes in the very last halacha. The Rambam says, "Hayu lefanav ner beso v'ner Chanukah." You have ner. What is ner beso? Shabbos candles. Shabbos candle versus Chanukah candle. Who wins? Or how about Ner Beso v'Kiddush Hayom? How about Shabbos candles versus Kiddush? What wins? Shabbos candles always wins. Shabbos candles always win. Why? Ner Beso Kodem Mishum Shalom Beso. What do candles, what does light in the home provide? Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, not in the way that we use the term, marital harmony, right? But that there should be peace in the home. That if there's no light in the home, someone's going to stub their toe trying to make their way around the house in the dark. We're so used to having electricity, we don't even think about it. But it's the difference of a person having a quality of life and living in the dark, mamish. So for Shalom Bayis purposes, we forgo the Ner Chanukah, we forgo Kiddush, and we focus on Shalom Bayis. We focus on Ner Beso for Shabbos. Sharei, says the Rambam, how do I know? And the Rambam is really going half a step beyond what the Gemara even says. How do I know that Shalom Bayis is more important than Chanukah, which is Chanukah, the halacha says, sell the shirt off your back for Chanukah. But Shalom Bayis comes first. Kiddush might be more of a mitzvah d'araisa than the Ner Shabbos, seemingly, in halacha you could definitely argue that, and yet Ner Shabbos trumps. Why? Sha'arei Hashem Nimchak Lasos Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishto. Because in the case of the Sota, the woman who's been accused of an adulterous relationship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, erase my name into the waters to make that bitter mixture. I'm prepared to give up my name as long as there can be Shalom Bayis. If this woman's innocent, it'll restore the Shalom Bayis when she drinks these waters. Hashem says, erase my name in order to restore Shalom Bayis. I once read a story in the Tuv Chayabiu from Yitzchak Zilberstein. He said there was a sofer, a young Avreich who was becoming a sofer, and he was writing, a mezuzah, a tefillin, a sefer Torah, I'm not sure what he was writing. And he was in the middle of writing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and it's very clear in Halacha, Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Ayin Vav, that if you're in the middle of writing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you're not allowed to interrupt. Can't interrupt in the middle of writing God's name. Don't take a break in the middle of Hashem's name. His wife came to the door, and she was carrying heavy packages. And he stopped in the middle of writing Hashem's name to help his wife, to help her bring in the heavy packages. And he said, and again, I don't know what Poskim would say about this, but Rav Zilberstein brought in a sefer to praise this fellow. He said, the person made a very simple cheshbon. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to erase his name, to mamash erase his name to bring shalom bayis, then I can stop writing Hashem. I'm not erasing anything. I'm just going to continue in a minute. He went to the door and he helped his wife bring in the bags. Shalom bayis. Shalom bayis is all different than anything. More than Ner Chanukah, more than Kiddush Hayom. It's the greatest. And the Rambam concludes, the end of Sefer Zmanim. Mamash, the end of Zmanim. It's very nogeya because this is the end of Zmanim. We're living in the end of Zmanim. This is the end of Zmanim. This is the end of time. And therefore, listen to the words of the Rambam. Look how the Rambam takes us out to the end of time, towards Mashiach. This is what we need to fix. Gadol HaShalom, Shekol HaTorah Nitna, La'asos Shalom Ba'ol. Great is Shalom, because the whole purpose of Torah is to make Shalom in the world. Every mitzvah that God gave us, every sifkata in the Mishnah Berurah, all of it is trying to bring us towards what? Towards Shalom Ba'ol. Shenemar, Dirachei, Adarchei, Noam, V'chol Nisiv Osea, Shalom. That's what Torah is. Torah produces Shalom in the world. According to some poskim, even if you bought Ner Chanukah, even if you have Kiddush, you purchased Kiddush already, you have to sell the Kiddush to buy Ner HaShabbos. You have to have Ner HaShabbos. What's the pshat? Lubavitch Rebbe, in an essay that's published in a Torah journal called Hamaor, in the 50th volume, Lubavitch Rebbe explained, it's not that Ner HaShabbos in Halacha is more than Kiddush or Chanukah. In fact, I could argue that Ner HaShabbos might be equal to, or probably less than, Kiddush, and perhaps even less than Ner Chanukah. The Baal Shem says, what is it? It's not the Ner Shabbos, not the mitzvah Ner Shabbos, which is just a mitzvah derabanan, but it's what emerges from that mitzvah. It's the shalom that emerges, which trumps everything. And the Baal Shem says, that's what the Rambam means. It's the highest value. Gadol HaShalom, Shekol HaTorah, Nitna Lasos Shalom Ba'ol. That's what shalom is. Such an unbelievable consideration in the life of a Jew. A consideration in halacha. In the Pardes Yosef, in the Vayikra volume of the Pardes Yosef, he was a Ger Chassid, a very interesting Yid who collected a lot of very interesting things in a magnificent collection called Pardes Yosef. In the Pardes Yosef in Vayikra, in Perachav Vav, Pasuk Gimel, the Pardes Yosef tells the following story. Someone came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner and was complaining that a certain Shochet wasn't properly checking the animal laws. And this person wanted to really take the Shochet to town, put up the posters, cause a big, big, big tumult in town. Really had it in for this shochet. So Chaim Volozhiner stopped him. He said, just think what you're doing. He said, machlokes is asur min haTorah. Checking the lungs of an animal is only derabanan. So let's keep it quiet. Right? Now Chaim Volozhiner wasn't being makel about kashrus. He was being machmir about shalom. He was being machmir on machlokes. Two people, Rabbi Reisman tells a story. Yisrael Reisman tells a story about one of his rebbeim. One of the rebbeim who was very close with Rabbi Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam. Rapam Zatzal once had two gedolim come to him, and they wanted to get his opinion on a particular matter that the two of them had a big machlokas about. And it was a fierce machlokas. And Rapam was mamash and ish shalom, and they came to Rapam to hear his opinion, hear his position. So Rapam said to them, I don't think anyone should talk about it. That's what I think. I think we need to keep this quiet. This isn't good. It's not good for Klai Yisrael. I don't think anyone should talk about this machlokas. And he asked the two of them to stop spreading it. So they said, fine, Rebbe, fine, no problem. But just tell us, Lamaisa, who's right? Right? I mean, what's your opinion? So he said, I said that no one should talk about it. I'm also not talking about it. We're not talking about this. That only spreads the machlokas. Rav Palm said the best way to stop machlokas is to stop machlokas. It's to not talk about it. It's to not to engage in it. Lo yeh kikorach v'adasa. Don't be involved. Don't be a person who goes around spreading machlokas like Korach. There's a mashal I saw attributed to the Imre Noam. Imre Noam was the Rebbe of Jikov. But it's a mashal that's probably in Aesop's Fables, Lahavdil, but there's beautiful mashalim in there. A lion came to a sheep. A lion came to a sheep, and the lion said, smell my breath, I'm the king of the jungle, smell my breath and tell me how it smells. So the sheep says, honestly, your honor, the king, king of the jungle, the lion, your breath smells terrible. He says, that's how you talk to a king? He got very angry at him and devoured the sheep. The lion came to a wolf and said, how does my breath smell? The wolf's a little bit smarter. So the wolf said, your breath smells magnificent. I never smelled such fresh breath in my life. And the lion says, you're a liar. Right? And he got very angry at him. And finally the king of the jungle came to the fox. And he said to the fox, how does my breath smell? And the fox was really smart. And the fox said, I'm so sorry, my nose is stuffed, I have a cold, I can't smell. And the Imre Noam said, that's the best response. The best response is to say, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Lo yiyah, I don't want to be a part of Korach v'Adaso. I don't want to be Korach, I don't want to be Adaso. I don't want to have anything to do with this. In Halacha, Rechaim V'Lajner says, checking the lungs of the animals, the Rabbanon, Machlokas is the Reis. Another example, just one more example in Halacha. The Radbaz, Rabbi David Ben Zimmer, wrote Tshuvos, many, many thousands and thousands of Shailos and Tshuvos. In the third volume of his Shailos and Tshuvos, number 472, he writes about people who cause trouble in Shul. And he writes, he says, I'm afraid to say this, which is always the humble way of saying what you want to say. Lulei the Mistafina, if I wasn't scared, I would say, as I'm writing it. Right? So he wrote, I'm afraid to say it, but honestly, if there's machlokas raging in Shul, it's better for a person to daven at home b'yachidus than to go to Shul. Forgo the schos of minyan. Schos of minyan is a big thing. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he says, basically minyan is a chiyuv b'zman hazeh. Because unless you're so sure your tefillahs are going to be answered on your own, which is kamad impossible, the Gemara says that the tefillah of the tzibur is never rejected by Hashem. So you better hedge your bets and go to shul. But says the Radbaz, I'd rather you stay home and daven b'yachidus and not be in a place of machlokas, not to even enter into a building where machlokas is taking place. In halacha, he's paskening in halacha. It's unbelievable. Every morning a Jew wakes up, you come to shul, and you start to daven, and as you recite karbanos, you recite the parak of Ezehu Makomon. If you have enough time, hopefully you have enough time. Ezu Mekomen Shel Zvachim. And the question is, why is that part of our introduction to the davening? How did that become part of, the Pashup Shad probably is Karbanos, elements of Karbanos. Mishnah Berurah offers several explanations in Simin Nun. In Or Chaim Simin Nun, the Mishnah Berurah has several explanations why we start with Ezu Mekomen. And one of his explanations, several explanations, but one of his explanations is that it's the only chapter in Shas that doesn't have Machlokas. And a Yid starts his day Machlokas free. Sets the tone for the day. I want to be the type of person, as I daven this morning, and I go out to the world, and I'm going to interact with a lot of different people, from my own family members, to the people I work with or work for, or who work for me, and I want to be the type of person who's able to be yosher. I don't want to be involved in machlokas. I want to be clear, I want to be straight. And unfortunately, people go out to the world, often, after saying Ezu Makomen, right? And it's mamish, it's a dog-eat-dog world, where people are mamish killing each other. Rabbi Dessler writes in one of his farm. He says, I remember an unbelievable thing that I once saw, and it was very nispal for me. Rav Dessler says he once saw that Nebuchadnezzar was this poor little animal that was attacked by a group of larger wild animals. And they killed this little animal. And Rav Dessler figured, as he's watching, I don't know if he was a young boy at the time, but he saw this frightful scene. There's all the other wild animals, the bigger animals devouring the smaller animal. And he figured, okay, you know, they partnered in killing the animals, so now they'll divide it up. Everyone will get a little something to eat. And then he saw that the animals started to fight with each other over who's going to get to eat the carcass. Until what? Until some of the smaller animals of that group got beat up. And they went off to the side to lick their wounds. And then there were only a couple left, a couple of the biggest animals. And then they started to fight. Until there was only one animal left who ate the carcass. And Rav Dessler says, he saw that, he was very nispal. He says, how many people do that also? First, we pick on the weaklings. As tragic as it says in this week's parasha, be extra sensitive to the yasum, the almana, the people who are suffering. Extra sensitivity. And dafka, that's the people who sometimes people take advantage of. They target people who are vulnerable. And they exploit those vulnerabilities. Right. And then they go on to bigger prey, and then they go on to bigger prey. Until someone, one individual who beat up on everyone, thinks he's the king, and he's left enjoying his prizes. Rav Dessler says that's terrible. It's irrational. Right? Let everyone have their place. Let everyone get what they need. Machlokas tears people apart. Rav Dessler saw it with mamish with his own eyes. The Kajus Der Magid in Parshas Noach has a beautiful piece on the words Eila told us Noach. He quotes a halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Peites, that a person is not allowed to say shalom. Right? That's the magic word tonight, shalom. Shalom as opposed to machlokas. A person is not allowed to say shalom to another person until he davens. Aser litein shalom l'chavero before a person davens because shalom is a name of Hashem. That's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Kajnitzer Magid in Parshas Noach. What's the pshat? Why can't you say shalom? Why is shalom a name of Hashem? Why can't you say it before davening? Nearly, levai ratam asher nikra kadosh baruch hu shalom. Why is a kadosh baruch hu called shalom? Hahu kakasuv oses shalom bimromov. Hashem makes shalom in the world above. Because we've received from our Rebbeim, he says, Nishmas aneden, ki ein lecha davar nivra, she'inenu murkav ma'arba yesodos. There's nothing in the world that's not made up of different components. Eish, ruach, mayim, and afar. And these different yesodos within man, these different energies, life forces within man. We had a shir, a series on the dal yesodos, eish, ruach, mayim, and afar. The four yesodos are misnagdim. They fight against each other. Water extinguishes fire. Right? Wind also tries to cause trouble for the fire. Right? The Yesodos are fighting. There's a fight that's taking place that's raging within man. Tfasemes says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nase Adam, let us make man. Who is he talking to? So Tfasemes says he was talking to man. Saying, man, you have to make yourself awesome. You have to partner with me to make yourself. That's what Tfasemes explains. It's beautiful. Right? A child gets a bris milah. It's part of the beginning of him saying, I wasn't created perfect. I got to work on myself. But other tzaddikim explain, know who Nase Adam is said to? Nase Adam is said to all of the things that preceded man. Right? All of the wild animals in the jungle. Everyone donated a little bit to man. We have a lot of crazy things going on inside of ourselves, and they're constantly fighting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to make Shalom. Oseh Shalom b'mromav. Down here, as human beings, it's natural for us to be misnaged to one another. It's natural for us to fight against one another. But the Avodas Yisrael says it's irrational. In Shemayim, he says, the Malachim are nosin reshus zelazah. They have respect for one another. You know why? Because the Malach Michal understands I'm not Gavriel. And Gavriel understands I'm not Rafal. And therefore, there's no machlokas. Each one's able to develop his own abilities. And the Avodas Yisrael concludes the piece. Ki ein hamachlokas v'ketata rak b'nifradim lamata. Machlokas is only for people who are down below. Which means when we focus on our neshama, we become people who are Bali Shalom, not Bali Machlokas. But if a person's a person of the world of the elements, if I feel that there's Eish and Ruach and Afar and Mayim all fighting within me, Nasa Adam, let us make man, that there's bears and there's wolves and there's lions inside of me, and I'm ready to tear someone apart like Rav Dessler saw with his own eyes, then unfortunately, there's not going to be Shalom. In the world below, says the Avodas Yisrael, Shekol Echad Mis Nasei Lomar, and each person says, I will be dominant over my friend, machmas chochma shir bekirbi, because I'm smarter than him, because I'm wealthier than him, because I'm more powerful than him. O eiza iloy achere asher heim toim miderech emes. He says, all of this comes from a person who thinks that he's greater because he's straight from the true path. Vishochachim. And you know what he forgets? This baal machlokas, as he's causing trouble with his neighbors and his friends and the people in shul, ki hayotzer hu anosein lehem koach lasos chayil. That all your success is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How could you speak to another person that way? How could you get into a fight with another person in that way? How could our parsha, right after Kabbalah Satorah, parsha says, Yisro, we get the Torah, parsha Mishpatim Hashem says, you got to be a mensch. Anche kodesh yunni. Be a mensch. How many people are fighting in this week's parsha? And Imamish, it slows us down. Says the Avodas Yisrael, Machlokas is for low people. It's for people who are only attached to this world. You're a big person. You're like a malach in Shemayim. The malachim get along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Osa Shalom b'mromav. The malachim understand. It's easy for them to have Shalom. For us, sometimes it's very, very difficult for us to have Shalom. And therefore, like I said at the beginning, 2,000 years after Chorban Bayis Sheni, we still haven't figured it out. It's sad. It's not a Tisha B'Av Shir, but it could be. It's very sad that we're still sitting here. We haven't figured out a way to unify Klal Yisrael, to respect one another, to get past some of those fights that we've had with people over silly things that we're still holding on to. And it's a tragedy for Klal Yisrael. I'll end with this. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Devarim at the very beginning says to Klal Yisrael, Eicha esa levadi tarchachem umasachem v'rivchem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how could I carry all of your burdens, but especially rivchem? The Imre Noam explains, I mentioned him earlier, the Jikover explains, Rebbe of Jikov. The Imre Noam says, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, listen, I've put up with a lot, and I can carry a lot. I can carry basically all of you. I can provide for all of you. And I can teach Torah to all of you. And I can deal with a lot of things. But there's one thing Moshe says I can't carry, and that's rivchem. I can't carry divrei rivos b'sharecha, like the var we started with. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, divrei rivos b'sharecha, Moshe says, you guys got to work that out yourself. The tzaddikim can't work it out amongst the low people. The tzaddikim are the angels. They don't have, their machlokas is different degree of machlokas. Machlokas l'shem shemayim. But even Korach and Moshe, something was a little bit off with Korach. It's a delicate thing. But Moshe says, you got to fix it yourself. I can't do this for you. It defines who a person is. A person who's a baal shalom, a person who's looking to make shalom, is a different type of person. And Rachmana Litzlan, there are people in the world who are Bali Machlokas. And everywhere they go, they start up with someone else. They always have a loud opinion. And they always have a contrary opinion. What's written on the Matseva of the Arizal? You've been to Sfat, you've seen the Matseva of the Arizal. Could write a lot of things about the Arizal. He had a lot of accomplishments in his life. On the Matseva of the Arizal, it says, what the Arizal recommended a person should say every morning as they begin to daven. Hareini mekabel alai. I accept upon myself the mitzvah to love my fellow man as myself. That was the Ari Gazal's legacy. Right? Not all the Kisvei Ari, which is endless, an ocean of Kabbalah. The Ari Gazal says, if there's one thing I achieved, it's that I start my day by saying I love all Jews. I start with Ezehu Makoman and I live it. I start with the parak of Mishnayis that doesn't have Machlokas, and I live my day like that. Baal Tanya said, if I would have known that the Vilna Gaon not Lamien, had I known what Machlokas would come from the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, I saw this in a sefer called Yemos Olam, from one of the Amshin of Arefis. He said that the Baal Tanya said, had I known that had the Vilna Gaon not let us in, there'd be such fighting between Chassidim and Misnagdim over very nuanced differences that Tzaddikim had a Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim. Had I known that not speaking to the Vilna Gaon would have caused so much Machlokas, I would have broken down the door. So he said, I would have broken down the door, entered into the Vilna Gaon, and he would have taken one look at me, the Baal Tanya said, and he would have realized that there's no Machlokas here. Would have solved a lot of problems. I didn't realize how bad the Machlokas would be, the Baal Tanya said. And unfortunately, we're still suffering it throughout history. So Amir Tzashem, instead of being people of Machlokas, we should take that Machlokas, we should transform it into Shalom Rav, into great Shalom. I saw once in a Sefer called Chaim Shel Torah, that the gematria of the word Machlokas is exactly the same as the gematria of Shalom Rav. So we decide. Zelu Mazel Selokim. It could be a Baal Machlokas, it could be a person of Machlokas, a person who's always making trouble, or you could say, I'm going to be a person who has to fight back against the Machlokas and be a person of Shalom Rav. Always trying to make Shalom wherever I go, Bein Ish L'Ishto, between neighbors, between friends, between people of communities, between Klal Yisrael the whole world over. And then Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will finally take us out of this galus with the Gula Shleima B'mehera B'Yameinu Amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Marv will be in here in 3 minutes.